back to the Project Censored Show. I'm Mickey Huff in studio with Peter Phillips. In this segment, we are going to talk about getting to zero waste. Our guest is Dr. Paul Palmer. Palmer received his PhD in physical chemistry from Yale University in 1966, taught chemistry in Europe and other parts of the world. In 1973, Palmer founded Zero Waste Systems Incorporated in Berkeley, California, and soon thereafter it moved to Oakland, California. And about 7 years ago, Paul Palmer published this book. It's called Getting to Zero Waste, Universal Recycling as a Practical Alternative to Endless Attempts to Clean Up Pollution. Paul Palmer joins us in studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Paul, tell us the main point of your book, I think, and what do you mean by zero waste?
Yeah, that's good. I like to get to the positive aspect because it's so easy to dwell on the negative. What I mean by zero waste is a theory of the use of resources, the rational, intelligent, scientific theory of how do we use resources. Right now, we have multiple trillions of dollars worth of resources being used every week, every month. Who adds them up? I don't know what it really is, but it's fabulously huge. When you think of water and plant material and metals and ores and petroleum, that all which is comes from nature and we just consume it, we gobble it up. The closest we come to a theory is what Wendell Berry says, the biggest pump wins. Whoever gets to consume and use up the most fastest is the guy who has the rights to do it. And that's all backed up in law. There is no resource policy in this country. It's just freewheeling, free enterprise, free market. That's
so,
the way it
works.
So
to a certain extent, isn't the idea of recycling really kind of make garbage more acceptable than to continue to support waste management companies' profit-taking under our capitalist system?
Well, before I quite get to recycling, let me finish the thought on what zero waste really is.
Okay.
So I said it was a rational scientific theory. And what I want to point out is that it's a theory of how to reuse everything, because basically there is no other alternative than reusing things as a way to avoid somehow discarding them, putting them out into the environment. So you have to have reuse constantly turning over cycles, agricultural cycles, plastic cycles, chemical cycles. Everything has to be part of a cycle. And what I've tried to do is put out on my website, actual practical expositions, examples of how you do that, how you set that up. Once you accept that that's needed, it turns out to be quite accessible. Fairly, I don't know if I want to call it easy, but I find it easy to think about these things. How would you do this rationally instead of trying to find a way to throw something away and then destroy it? And now we can get to recycling, because recycling was a response to a perceived emergency back around the late 60s, when all the garbage companies were consolidating, all of the mom and pops were being bought up, and they became super mega garbage companies and super mega dumps. And then the EPA got into it and started legislating enforced discard. I know people may not like that, but that's what they do. They legislate garbage. They force. That's what regulations are for. As a friend, Jane Ann Morris, says, the purpose of environmental regulation is to regulate the environmentalists. And I think that encapsulates it. So environmentalists, who were very well-intentioned at the time, were desperately looking for a solution. They said, well, there's all this garbage coming. It's sweeping us. It's coming in torrents. Let's do something with it. So they try to investigate the composition and find what was in it and what they could use. And they came up with the idea, well, let's try to reuse the materials. That was fine for the 60s. That was a positive, progressive impulse. But now we're 40, 50 years later, it's no longer a progressive impulse. Now what has happened is the garbage industry realized this was the greatest thing that has ever come along for them, because recycling in the public mind now makes it okay to create all the garbage you want, go ahead, throw everything out, design everything for obsolescence. We're going to recycle it. It's all okay. Don't worry about it. And so people have gotten this notion that recycling somehow takes care of things. It's opposed to garbage. But what you have to understand, what people need to understand, is recycling is a form of garbage management. And that really is the key. Garbage management. That's what recycling is. It's not against garbage, but it's for garbage. How do you make garbage more acceptable after it's created?
This is amazing kind of garbage industry propaganda, really, to kind of, again, to justify and rationalize a disposable culture.
That's exactly right. The garbage industry just loves recycling. The greatest, the biggest recycling company, I think, in the country is called Recycle America. It's run by Waste Management. Well, Waste Management has a pretty nasty history and reputation, and it's very well deserved. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars in fines, and it's just the cost of doing business for them. And they would not support anything that threatened their business. So you can be absolutely sure of that.
Well, Paul Palmer, getting to zero waste, that certainly wouldn't be on the waste management agenda.
No, absolutely not. The recycling community and the recycling mentality is designed to increase garbage. The more recycling goes on, the less reuse that there actually is. So if we get a chance, I want to talk about the two basic principles that underlie the theory of recycling. Not that there is a theory. No one publishes any theory or calls it any theory, but the concept of recycling is based on two principles. We can get into them.
Well, you've started that, so tell us the two principles. And
okay.
Let's,
All right. Well, the first principle is that there always has been and there always will be garbage. You can't stop it. You can't do anything better than that. Garbage is going to come at us in waves, in rivers, and we have to do something with it. So anything we do is positive. Now, there's no rational basis for that belief. We've been acting that way for 50,000 years, but we started out throwing meat scraps and bones out the cave door. That was simple. That worked. You know, it was just organic matter and all. Now we've got 5 million synthetic chemicals, and we've got 50,000 different plastics, and we've got medical estrogen mimics, and I don't know what. You know, we have nasty stuff, and the idea that you can throw it out of the cave door is idiotic. So, but there is no alternative to just throwing it out the cave door. People still talk. It's amazing, but they still talk about manufacturing capacity being limited by the ability of nature to process our wastes. Idiotic. There's no basis for that whatsoever. What we have to do is start designing for reuse. Use our scientific expertise.
Now, we're speaking with Dr. Paul Palmer, Getting to Zero Waste. This is the Project Centered Show on Pacific Radio. I'm Mickey Huff in studio with Peter Phillips. Paul Palmer, you just said reuse. Let's go back to this issue again. When we talk about recycle as opposed to reuse, I remember several years ago the well-known documentarian Michael Moore made a quip about how he doesn't recycle, or recycling doesn't work, or it all goes to the dump anyway. And he came under a lot of fire and pressure for that, certainly by liberal groups. However, could you expand upon that? What he was saying isn't exactly inaccurate.
No, Michael Moore was right on the mark. In fact, I quote him in the book where I talk about how opposition to recycling has been growing. One of the problems that's been coming along is what I call the personal delusion. People think that they are responsible, that their little garbage can is what is creating this torrent of garbage. But that is not even close to being true. So we have the personal delusion really playing itself out, especially now locally in San Francisco, where they have this huge program, this campaign to, as they like to call it, zero waste to landfill. Well, a landfill is just a dump, and what they want to do is just recycle, which means crushing things up and destroying them and using a few materials. But they try to bring it down to the personal level. They have these garbage cans and dumpsters, and they're going to break them up and tear them up. We call it eat and treat sometimes. And what they have to realize is that a whole society does not revolve around what individuals use. The usual estimate in this field is that industry creates 70 times as much garbage as individuals do. That came out of a recycling center in Boulder, and it's widely used now. Anyway, so if you take that as a given, that there's 70 times as much garbage from industry, well, that the reason that that garbage is being produced is ultimately to produce the products that are being used by society. So it is the part of the basis of creating those products, and it's just as important to think about that as it is to think about what comes out of a personal garbage can. So if you think about it that way and take San Francisco's much vaunted 80% recycling rate, as though that were significant anyway. But anyway, if you add in the industrial waste that's being produced in order to produce those products, then San Francisco is dealing with maybe 2% of everything that's out there. And then if you add in all the buildings and all the roads and all of the infrastructure that is purposely made just to be destroyed at the end of its life, it's not made to be reused, it's not modularized, it's not standardized, and that ends up being crushed up and put into dumps or being used for some very low-level application, just as gravel in the best case, then probably you could say that San Francisco is accomplishing 1% reuse value would be realistic.
Well, Paul Palmer, you talked about the idea that we're really not understanding what recycle means, and it's not zero, that we're really creating mountains of garbage. Companies make profits off of that garbage, and we have a system of capitalism where we're producing things that people acquire and then use up and discard, and that creates that garbage. And you're saying that we could have a system, it could still be capital-based, but be creating products that can be completely used or sustained and could be reused. They could last a long time. You can fill up your containers on a regular basis and not have to recreate new ones. And you also talk about this study that Robert Krauss had done from New Zealand, where he surveyed waste companies all over the world. What happened with his research?
Well, Robert has been working on that for about 3 or 4 years. He started out by thinking he was going to do a study of what they call zero waste to landfill. I think I mentioned that. The word landfill is interesting in itself because it was created in the 60s or 70s because they didn't like the word dump, because dump is too Anglo-Saxon, too raw, too fresh. So landfill makes everything sound fragrant. And as I say, I've never seen any land that was just waiting to be filled up with garbage. So even the terminology is a fraud. But what Robert found was that there were these programs all around the world, certainly all around the United States, that were designed to what they called zero waste. They applied the term zero waste, but all that they meant was let's recycle everything. Let's smash everything up and let's just get a little bit of glass, let's get a little steel, let's get a little bit of copper, and we'll throw away all the rest. Remember now that I did start a company for reusing chemicals, and the recyclers have no idea what that's about. The recyclers tend to be not too technically advanced, and what everyone used to say about chemicals was just dispose of properly, which is a crazy oxymoron. And so we found that these chemicals were among the most easily reused of the commodities. But going back to Robert's work, he found that his best efforts could not locate a successful program. He looked around at the world's zero waste to landfill programs, and he discovered every one of them was a failure on its own terms. They said they were going to achieve 100% or 90% diversion rates, and not one of them did. And so he changed his focus from what's going on in the world for zero waste to landfill to why are they all failing? And then he recently published his thesis. And one of the case studies that he did was San Francisco. He did Toronto and a few others, and one was San Francisco. And Robert thinks that he sees that the officials in San Francisco, even as we speak today, are preparing their exits because they know it's going to fail. And the purpose of it is not to avoid garbage creation. As I said, recycling is not even intended for that. But the purpose of it is to make it okay for garbage companies to post their profits for 10 more years. And after that, they'll figure out how to continue dumping and destroying the resources of the planet for 10 more years. And that's the real purpose that it serves.
So that seems like a delay of really making cultural transformations in terms of production, where we make products that can be sustaining, reused, and are designed not to ever be thrown away.
Right. I have a number of proposals that I put in on my website, which is zerowasteinstitute.org, under projects. And there's probably 30 different projects that I discuss how to build reuse into different products, and also how to change the processes, the social processes, the consumer processes by which they're used. You can't simply tweak a product and expect that you're suddenly going to be able to reuse it or have a zero waste system. So one of them that I've been pretty interested in is fence posts. Now, that may not sound very sexy, but if you go out on a typical urban street corner and look at all the posts that there are, the signs, the fences, the lampposts, etc. I was on one and I counted 32 posts that were in the ground that had to be supported. Well, all of those are done the same way. It's exactly the same way that your father did it and your grandfather and your great-grandfather. Nothing has changed since the Romans. They invented concrete. You dig a big hole in the ground and you fill it full of concrete and you stick a post in it. And what happens at the end of that life, remember, we're talking about cycles now. So end of life is what you want to, end of first life is what you want to be focusing on. At the end of the first life, the post corrodes. It may be wood, it may be steel, it rusts, it rots. You dig this thing up out of the ground. It's a, I call it a concrete lollipop. In this country, we hire a dumpster usually, and we throw it in the dumpster, and it goes into a dump. I have a picture on my website of a bank in Costa Rica that had one of these lollipops on the front lawn and people walking up and down because no one knows what to do with them. And so they represent this gigantic waste. Well, let's say that we try to apply a rational analysis to this. How do we put a post in the ground in such a way that it stands there, it's secure, it doesn't go anywhere, but at the end of its life, for whatever reason, maybe someone just wants to move a fence. At the end of its life, you take it out of the ground, you disassemble it, it has parts, you put it together with a new post in a new place, you store the parts maybe, and you keep reusing these things over and over and over. And so I designed a number of these, I don't have a good name for them. We need a sexy name, but anyway, these fence post stabilizers that you can attach to a post, one near the top of the ground, one near the bottom of the ground, about a couple of feet down below, and they stabilize it. They create a torque couple that keeps the post vertical, and I've used them. I built fences with them, and they work great. But instead, we persist in filling up the ground with concrete lollipops that no one has any use for.
Well, Paul Palmer, when you say, again, getting to zero waste, you're talking about the literal alternative to recycling, but I'm wondering, maybe people in the audience are hearing you say, don't recycle. And getting to zero waste means that you're not recycling. That's pretty clearly what you're saying, right? It's different between reuse. But what do you say to people now, right now, today, in the system we have, where we have these multi-million dollar, billion dollar industries of garbage, of waste, of recycling? What's your advice to tell people to move away from this?
Mostly, I would say, move away from the mentality, the concept that you can't ever do anything except perpetuate the waste. That garbage is not cute. There are hundreds of books written about where garbage goes and where it comes from. There are 10,000 studies done by municipalities and all around the country over and over studying the composition of garbage. Stop doing this. Stop focusing always on the problem and thinking how great it is, and we're going to make some tiny incremental improvements. We're going to worry about garbage rates and green cans and purple cans. Let's deal with solutions for a change. Let's actually get to solving the problem of how do we create products that can be reused productively, repeatedly, and for the long term. So I would like to see, for example, some real zero waste thought. I hope that some of the people who are listening will want to join with me and build a zero waste institute, build a zero waste research center. There should be research done on how do we redesign products so that they can be reused. I mean, this is not magic. Recycling is just magic. You just sort of reach out and you grab some stuff and you just reuse some materials. It's so low level. But when you want to get scientific about it, you have to do some research and you have to do design. And that's what I hope would someday happen.
So you're saying that not only would we be taking our own bags to the grocery store.
Yes.
But you would also be saying we'd be taking all our containers.
Yes. Yes.
To the grocery store.
That's right.
And filling them up as well. In addition to not buying products that, I mean, or buying a car that would ideally last for 25 years and then could be reused in a very real way ad infinitum like they do in Cuba.
Well, it isn't just designing a car that's so robust that it lasts for 25 or 100 years, but it's standardizing, modularizing, putting in repair systems. You have to change the ways in which cars are thought about, the mentality of let's just throw it away and let's crush it up. That's going to take some concentrated work.
We've been speaking with Dr. Paul Palmer, author of Getting to Zero Waste, Universal Recycling as a Practical Alternative to Endless Attempts to Clean Up Pollution. Paul Palmer, thanks so much for joining us today. Could you please give your website one more time?
Yes, it's Zero Waste Institute, one word, .org. And especially look up the principles of zero waste and the projects that I lay out.
Dr. Paul Palmer, thanks so much for joining us on the Project Censored Show.